Hello, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Psalm 144. Psalm 144, a psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand, your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens whose mouths speak deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens, whose mouth speaks deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and our daughters as corner pillars, fashioned as for a palace. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and 10,000s in their fields. Let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. And there be no outcry in our streets. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. So Psalm 144 was written most likely right after David becomes king of all of Israel, not just part of Israel, but all of Israel. And so it seems to be a song that he wrote upon this occasion. And so he starts off and he says, you know, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. This could mean a couple different things. One, obviously we know that David was a great warrior. And if you were to look at him, probably he would be kind of like a, I don't know, special forces or, you know, I mean, something like just an elite, you know, a Navy SEAL or something to that effect. He would definitely be a very elite warrior. And his hands were trained for war. And his fingers for battle. Now, that's a very interesting statement. It could mean one of two things. If the psalmist is only speaking or only writing about like physical war, then the hands for battle, this would be the sword, this would be the axe, these type of things. And then the fingers for battle, which would relate to like the bow and arrow. Or it could mean something a little different. We can understand the hands for war and the fingers for battle. It could be a sign or kind of a nod to worship, because he talks about later on the harp. And this is the idea of worship as battle, that when we worship the Lord, that we're actually fighting in the heavenlies. I mean, there's a couple ways you can look at it, and so I'm kind of open to both ways, to be honest. But obviously it starts with a blessing. And then he says, starting in verse 2, my loving kindness, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, refuge. Now, it's really interesting. Everything besides the first statement is battle worthy. So obviously, fortress, stronghold, deliverer, shield, refuge. These are all battle terminology. And so he's still very much using that, but the beginning he starts off and he says, my loving kindness. This is obviously the Jewish idea of chesed, covenant loyalty, covenant love and faithfulness. And so David draws from his relationship with God. First and foremost, yes, he's a stronghold, he's a fortress, he's all those things militarily. In other words, kind of what God can do for him as a king, as a warrior, as a soldier, but the primary foundation of that is the love relationship. And it's really important for us to recognize that you know, out of all these different things that God is in our lives and all the things that God can do for us, and, you know, he can protect us, he can rescue us, all these things, that we always go back to that foundation of his loving kindness. It's his love. It's his care. It's the relationship that God wants to have with his people. And no matter how great, you know, we have all the different titles of worship leader, pastor, house church leader, like things that we do. We're going to ask God to make us great in these things, but we can never bypass the love relationship. God created us for a relationship, for a love relationship. God created mankind. He created Adam, right, to walk with him in the garden. God created you, each one of us, not to be a great pastor or a leader or anything. God created you to have a love relationship with him. And so David, very rightly, from the beginning, he says, yeah, Lord, you're first and foremost, you are my loving kindness. You're my lover in this way. You know, you deliver me, you're my fortress, all those things, but that's who you are first and foremost. And he recognizes, you know, at the end of verse 2, who subdues my people under me. In other words, Lord, it was you. Like, I didn't want to become king. You are the one who put people, right, under my charge. It's the Lord that's doing this. And then, so that makes him, the next verse, it makes him verse 3, it makes him sit and ponder a little bit. Right? Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? And it's just this like kind of, you can see David is just in this amazement, like, Lord, who am I that you would put me in this position? This is the heart of gratitude. This is the heart that just is so full and says, God, I can't believe that you would actually use me. I can't believe that you would prepare this for me. I can't even understand, right? Who am I that this would happen? And then as a warrior, the next verse, he comes back to this reality. Lord, man, like, is just a mere breath. He's probably seen a lot of men lose their breath on the battlefield. His days are like a passing shadow. It's so quick. And then it changes in verse 5. And then bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hands of aliens. The aliens primarily meaning foreigners. And so even though all of Israel is subdued under David, it seems pretty clear that there are still enemies that are around him. Primarily at this time, as David is writing, he would probably be referring to the Philistines. And so they're still all around, right? Their mouths are full of deceit, and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. Usually the right hand was kind of your counselors, and he's saying that these guys are also, right, full of deceit. And so, but David, this is what he desires to do in the midst of calamity, in the midst of dire situations with enemies, the foreigners surrounding him. And he says, so this is why this kind of relate to verse 1, maybe talking about worship. And he says, and I will sing a new song to you, O God. And so in the midst of an enemy attack, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. A harp of 10 strings, just meaning that David was a very, very skilled musician who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens or foreigners, whose mouth speaks deceit and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. It's just like repeating again. And then, verse 12 on, David gives a vision of his kingdom and what he wants to see in his kingdom. Look what it says. Let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. In other words, right, this is, we're talking about like no infant mortality. We're talking about boys and girls will grow up strong and mighty. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce. There's peace in the land. And so people can work the land. There can be food everywhere. Our flocks bring forth thousands and ten thousands in their fields. So this is the livestock. And so there's just peace and prosperity in the land where there's food, abundant food for everybody, right? Food security is there. There's meat available to everyone. And obviously, you know, with the cattle, you're talking about milk, you know. You're talking about so many different things that are happening here that are really about the well-being of the people. It's peace that's happening here. Right, let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets. The idea of, you know, all the flocks, this would be, you know, all the sheep. Then you get all the cows. I mean, there's just a lot of peace, and which also means if they can grow in this way, that the land is good. It's healthy. There's food for the animals there. You know, there's no drought. And in verse 14, and let there be no outcry in our streets. In other words, there'll be justice. There'll no longer be injustice on the streets where people will mourn and wail, you know, about the unfairness of life and unfairness in these ways. You know, how blessed are the people who are so situated. And it says, Lord, this is what we're going for. And how blessed are the people whose God is their Lord. And so it's talking about this well-being that's taken place, you know, over Israel. I mean, kids, animals, food, right? Justice, and all these things that we all want, right? And we all kind of in some ways take for granted in a civilized society. And David is saying, like, this is the vision of his kingdom. This is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen when God is the God of the people. It's going to come from the Lord, but it's going to come as the people of God, right, are submitted to the King of the universe. And so let's close our eyes. You know, this peace and well-being, I think it's such a great picture. Isaiah will also write about this, and he'll call this the new heavens and the new earth. This is something that's going to happen in heaven, but we can have heaven on earth. And when we pray for like government officials and things like this, this is what we're praying for, right? Justice, kids to grow up peaceably, that there's fairness and equity, men and women, boys and girls. This is a just society. And let's pray for this vision that David has over his kingdom. And let's pray for this vision over our city, over all of our cities.
Bow down on high. your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone, our God eternal, throughout earth and heaven above. Great is the Lord, great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name. You've done in our lives, and Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone, our God eternal, throughout earth and heaven. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For come alone, our God eternal, throughout earth and heaven. For you alone, our God eternal, throughout earth and heaven. For you alone, our God eternal, throughout earth and heaven.
Well, let's lift our voices this morning and let's pray for the well-being. Well, let's pray for the flourishing of our society. All around us, our family, our church, our school communities, our work communities, and our city. And let's pray for this human flourishing that David is writing about.